Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
We got that funky music playing tonight. Yeah, it's us. How's everybody doing? Now I understand that old Chinese saying, may you live in interesting times. It's both a blessing and a curse. Seems like every day something else is going on out there, something big. But this is the way it's going to be for a while, I guess. We'll drink to that. Anyway. What did you think of the program last night? We talked about stuff, right? And tomorrow, the anniversary of D-Day, right? So, if I'm on the air tomorrow, we'll probably talk about it. Maybe I'm getting my history wrong here, right? I don't know, let's check it out. June 6th, right. Okay, I got it right. Anyway. The Canadian wildfires. I mean, some of my friends were posting pictures of the sunrise of sunrise over the West Coast. Got distracted there. So this is from New York Times. Smoke from the Canadian wildfires created unhealthy air quality from the upper Midwest to New York City. And this was an article yesterday, right?
We're looking at pictures. It's reminiscent of what we had 2 years ago. Not as bad, though. I remember 2 years ago on the Palisades Parkway, along the Hudson River, you couldn't even see the other side of the river. And the sun, some of the pictures I'm from the Jersey Shore, the sunset looked like a couple years ago with what was going on. Dark orange, beautiful sunsets, but bad air quality. It sucks. We also have President Trump and Elon Musk in some type of a peeing match there. Donald Trump, and I think one of my friends described it very aptly, and the person has done business with Donald Trump, so I know. I trust his opinion. Donald Trump is the dude. He's also done business with Elon Musk. And they said, and according to him, they're both from the same personality, right? The same mold, in a way. Now, Musk is a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm searching for words today. Musk is more of the dreamer, right? On a lot of ways, right? His attitude, like, we can change the world today. Let's change it. Why settle for less than changing the world? Donald Trump is, hey, we can fix things. Maybe you disagree with how he fixes them, but hey, we can fix things. Let's try to fix it. With the slogan, make America great again. And and he stole one of mine, right? Make America Safe Again. Right? They tried that for a week. That was from this show. But, you know, it's, I don't know, you know, so we have some stories here. Let's get them up here, right? Elon Musk tells Laura Loomer Republicans should side with Trump, with him, because Trump will die first. Right, Elon Musk, MAGA actress Laura Loomer, this is from Mediaite, she should side with him amidst his public feud with President Trump on Thursday, as he would live longer than the president. Musk, 53, and Trump, 78, traded barbs publicly after Musk had trashed Trump's tax bill in the Oval Office on Thursday. In the Oval Office on Thursday, Trump was asked by reporters about Musk's criticism of the administration's big, beautiful bill. Trump downplayed Musk's role in the 2024 election when he declared he would have won whether Musk got involved or not. Musk fired back, "Without me, Trump would have lost the election. Dems would be in control of the House, Republicans would be 51 of 49 in Senate. Such ingratitude." Loomer shared a screenshot of Musk's comments, wrote, "It's heating up. It'll be interesting what Republican lawmakers do now." Well, yeah, we'll see what happens here. What's our next story? Elon Musk blasts Trump. "Without me, Trump wouldn't have lost." This is on from CNBC. Trump said Musk opposes bill, which is pending in the Senate, because the billionaire is upset about the elimination of EV credits, electrical vehicle credits, in the package, and the president is nixing his pick to run NASA, meaning Musk's pick to run NASA. And Tesla's stock is down. Here we have from The Hill. Musk floats idea of third-party mud among feud with Trump. Article was today by Dominic Mastrangelo. Billionaire Musk seemed to suggest support of a third political party as he escalated a growing fight with President Trump that boiled over Thursday. "It is time to create a new political party in America that actually represents 80% in the middle." Think of it, Gaussian distribution, the bell curve, right? Musk wrote in a post on social media platform X, with more than 200 million followers on the site, which he owns. Right? I got to go to commercial break for a second here. Allergies are killing me here. I apologize to everybody.
Have you listened or watched the Safety War show? It does stream live on the radio and on the streamers that we have. So if you have not taken a listen to Jim Bozell and what the hell he's doing every evening with Safety Wars, I would strongly encourage you to take a view or take a listen, whichever option is available for you, and take a listen to what the hell he has going on. It will take some deep dives and some information that you might be interested in.
I'm back. Sorry about that. Canadian wildfire air getting to me here. Anyway, Musk, not the third political party. I think what, and I'm going to write Musk a note here. I probably attach this without the pause for me, in a coughing fit. Third political party. If you're a longtime listener of this show, you know how I feel about it, the reality of it. Right? Talking about the stuff going on, basically, I said, you know, last night, it's basically the primary for the Democratic Party. Here, they had the debate, Democratic Party debate. And right now, whoever the Republican is going to be, possibly Curtis Sliwa for that. And then you have Mayor Adams running as an independent, and Andrew Cuomo, who is ahead by double digits on the in the polls, right there. Now, let's face reality here, right? And that's what we'd like to deal with, is reality. Reality of the situation is third political, back in 1992, when we had a third political party for president, we had no major party. There were many parties, though. Libertarian, America's Independent Party, America's Party, a lot of different ones out there, smaller ones. But then when we had a major challenge, then the person of Ross Perot, and he impacted, I mean, Bush would have won that election because he pulled people away from Ross Perot. Ross Perot pulled them away from George Bush. So Bush would have ended up winning that election. After that, the states went in there and made it more difficult for people on the third party to get on the ballot. And as we all know, you got to get 270 electoral college votes to be president with that, right? Or you need a plurality, or, you know, it basically comes down to 270. But what it comes down to is this. The third political parties don't work in this country, right? So, they're harder. They split the vote from one party or the other party. The parties out there, Democrat and Republican, have it rigged, basically, for everyone. And now I've been a part of a third party political campaigns. It's a problem. It's difficult. If someone was going to do it, though, it would likely be Musk or someone like that because they have the money to do this. All right, so to become president of the United States, you need 270 out of 538 electoral votes. All right, this majority is required to win the presidency. When you start splitting the vote, right, and it's counted by a state, God knows what's going to happen. If you're going to want someone polarizing, now President Trump, regardless of your opinion of him, is polarizing. Musk would probably be the one to be polarize people with that, regardless of his results that he gets here. So all this talk about third political party, not going to happen, my opinion. Or if it does, you know, a third major party, they have an uphill battle. There's going to be a lot of lawsuits and everything else. But let's remember, we have a four-year cycle here. Pardon me. We have a four-year cycle here. First year is this year. We had an election last year. What do we need to do, regardless of your political party? Yeah, you need to continuously register voters in your party, yes. But you got to educate your party. I'm not seeing a whole hell of a lot of educating going on out there, educating the voters. Not seeing it. Then the second year of the cycle, what do? You have to go out and run candidates, right, in the primaries and the midterm elections. See how you do. Usually the incumbent party on the national level, federal level, loses seats in Congress, usually. Not all the time, but usually. Then third year is education again. Recruit and education. Recruit and education. Register voters. Then what happens in the fourth year? You run your candidate, and it starts a Labor Day with all the petition signatures and everything, Labor Day the year before. So the next election is in November 2028. So you have to pretty much have your group node together in September of 2027. You have to have all of your state organizations set up. You have to have all of your, 50 states, plus you have the territories and everything, because you have state, it's run by the parties, have delegates and everything from the territories. Then you have to have a representative or two in every county, A lot of counties, thousands of counties. You're talking about a Herculean effort. The Democrats and Republicans have everything set up. So what's going to happen if we want to get some fresh blood in there? The easiest way is to go and do what Trump did and go into the Republican Party. You couldn't go into the Democrat. Went into the Republican Party. Mayor Bloomberg in New York. 2000 election, I think. Well, no, 2001. The election went in through the third party. I'm sorry, went in through the Republican Party. And he became, right? He left. But that's what has to happen. Now, in New York City, now they have three major candidates. If Adams, I think this time what's going to happen, whoever the Democrat Party nominee is, looks like the former Governor Cuomo, if he goes in and he wins the primary, which he will, I mean, in the debate, it's got to be something really bad to happen for him not to be the nominee, in my opinion, then you're going to have Mayor, if he stays in, Mayor Eric Adams and him, now Curtis Sliwa, who's the one of the presumptive nominee for the Republicans, has a chance in getting in. I don't know. It's very interesting. Maybe you live in interesting times. It's a curse. But what I'm going to tell everybody, just hang on. Buckle up. Put on that PPE because you can't, you know, you can't control this one. So you got to go for the PPE and buckle up. Wear that hard hat. No. Whatever, because the sky's, you know, you're going to hear people, the sky is falling, and just hang. All right, and we're going to go into our second commercial break here. This one for real, because I'm not going, you know, it stinks, these allergies.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Pozell with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
Yes, Jessica, I am your
daddy. Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
Let's go into some Department of Labor news. Now, people are out there, stick to the safety and the environment. Stick to the safety. And now we're going to talk about whatever interests me. And this is a, you know, logical thing. How can I not have something to say over Musk and Trump? Come on. The United States today requested that the government of Mexico review an alleged denial. This news release is from the 4th, yesterday. But, however, it only made it on the website today. Otherwise, I would have talked about it last night. The United States today requested that the government of Mexico review an alleged denial of worker rights at Superior Industries Incorporated, a manufacturer of aluminum automobile wheels in Chihuahua, Mexico. The request follows a May 5, 2005 petition filed by Sindicato Nacional de Trabajadores de la Transformación, Construction, Service y Comercio en General, a Mexican union associated with Confederación Autónoma de Trabajadores y Empleados de México. Note that I never took Spanish. I had to teach some of this stuff myself, right? Learn it myself. filed under the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement's Rapid Response Labor Mechanism. The petition alleges that union supporters at Superior Industries are subject to threat, surveillance, and other forms of intimidation. At the USMCA's Interagency Labor Committee found sufficient and credible evidence supporting petition's allegations related to employer interference and retaliation, the U.S. government submitted a request for Mexico to review the case using the RPM. The U.S. Department of Labor, U.S. Trade Representative, co-chair of the Interagency Labor Committee. The Mexican government has 10 days to decide whether to conduct a review and 45 days from today to investigate the claims and present its findings. Superior Industries Incorporated is a U.S. headquartered auto parts manufacturer that operates 4 facilities in Chihuahua, Mexico, through its Mexican subsidiary. The aluminum wheels are mainly used in vehicles in the United States. Now, we had to hear people in January saying, well, now this is going to be cut. This is going to be cut. Wasn't cut. My question always is, I feel bad for workers throughout the world. Yes, absolutely. However, is this in our best interest to start involving ourselves in these other countries like this? I think that's a valid question. That has, maybe the answer is yes. Maybe the answer is no, but let's at least question this stuff here with this. My opinion here with this. This came out today, June 5th, from the news release, right, from the Department of Labor blog. Unemployment Insurance Weekly claims, in the weekend of May 31st, the advance figure for seasonally adjustable initial claims was 247,000, an increase of 8,000 from the previous week's revised level. The previous week's level was revised down by 1,000, right? And, you know, jobs, I mean, you look, it goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. I don't know. We'll figure it out sooner or later. Other news from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Let's share this screen here. Productivity decreases. Right, here we go. Productivity decreases 1.5% in first quarter in the first quarter 2025. Unit labor costs decrease 6.6% annual rates. Right? Productivity decreased 1.5% in non-farm business sector in the first quarter of 2025. Unit labor costs increased 6.6% seasonally adjusted annual rates. Manufacturing productivity increased 4.4%. So how does that look? That looks like that. Right? You can see the dip in 2020. Right? And then the recovery here. Right? Coming on up. Right? From 2020, quarter four. Right? 2021, quarter two. Then 2020, quarter four. And going on. And it's pretty much all over the place. Productivity out. Right? And I don't know. It's it is what it is. I'm presenting them because our Department of Labor is releasing this stuff, right? This is another news release from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. County employment and wages fourth quarter percentage unemployment 2023 to December 2024 by largest gains and losses. Largest gain was Kings County, New York, which is New York City area, right? Benton, Arkansas, right? AR Arkansas. Loudoun, Virginia, Washington, Utah, Sussex, Delaware, going all the way down. The biggest losers were Buncombe, North Carolina, Elkhart, Indiana, McLean in the Illinois, Pinellas, Florida, and Cumberland, North Carolina. I wonder if that has to do with the hurricanes last year. So, you know, it depends on the area that you're at. That's on whether things are going good or not. Here we have stuff from, here you go, the EPA.gov. This is from yesterday. EPA fines Valero Wilmington Refinery chemical safety violations, allegedly. All of this is alleged, right? Today, the U.S. EPA announced a settlement with Ultramar Incorporated doing business as Valero Wilmington Refinery over chemical safety violations under both the Clean Air Act and Emergency Planning and Community Right to Know Act. The company fixed the identified safety issues and will pay $270,000 plus in penalties. And the quote from you said EPA Pacific Southwest Regional Administrator Josh F.W. Cook. I had hoped that Valero would invest, and this is out of L.A., right, in upgrades to their California facilities and stay in business in our state. They will soon shut down at least one California refinery and leave. This will be a huge hit to gas prices in California, Nevada, and Arizona. This settlement today ensures that Valero has improved its safety systems and emergency response procedures at the Wilmington refinery. This is Wilmington out of California. As they continue toward closure, elsewhere in the state, we at the EPA will continue to monitor the situation. A June 2022 EPA inspection in the Wilmington facility identified violations of the Clean Air Act's risk management program requirements. The inspection found several safety problems. Right? Several safety problems. Here, let's close this out. Including that the facility had underestimated the distance of the that dangerous concentrations of chemicals could spread. In a worst-case scenario release, underestimating the impact of such release potentially leaves nearby homes, daycares, and schools and businesses unprepared in an emergency. Accurate calculations are essential for emergency responders to quickly protect the public from the chemical releases. And it goes on and on and on. So what do they need? And they had inaccuracies in the facility's equipment diagrams, essential for rapid response, insufficient analysis of how facility-wide power failures might compromise safety systems, and failure to implement previously recommended safety measures, and omission of mandatory information in both operating procedures and incident reports. EPA also determined that Valero violated the EPCRA by failing to immediately notify state officials after three separate sulfur dioxide releases, right? And going on and on. I tell you what, these refineries, it's a mixed bag here, right? Because these refineries and these other places are starting to more or less, quote unquote, fight back. Right? So they say, well, we're going to find you. And they say, okay, well, we're just going to leave. This happened in New Jersey a couple years back, where in the town of Livingston, which is one of the most richest towns in America, right, ranks up there, one of the richest towns in New Jersey, if not the richest town in New Jersey, where one of their residents said, look, why am I paying $100 million in taxes in New Jersey every year? So what did he do? He ended up packing up and leaving, and I mean, it destroyed the budget hole. The financial issues that the state of New Jersey are in, and are in part because big earners, including him, left. Right? But people say, well, screw it, don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. Long term, you can't do that. Gotta have income earners. The other thing is, why, I'm not gonna talk about those people. Forget about it. Right? What, we should be replaced. I'm telling people to pay their taxes, period, end of discussions, period, right? However, we do need some tax reform in this country here. And so I'm not going down that rabbit hole, right? Do follow the law. All right. EPA Administrator Zeldin, Interior Secretary Burgum, and Energy Secretary Wright traveled to North Slope of Alaska to promote American energy dominance. U.S. EPA, well, my question is, why couldn't they do this on like the 22nd so then they could go to the solstice party, you know? But anyway, U.S. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin, a member of the National Energy Dominance Council, joined its co-chairs, U.S. Department of Interior Secretary Doug Burgum and U.S. Department of Energy Secretary Chris Wright in North Slope of Alaska on June 1st and 2nd to promote American energy dominance. The great state of Alaska has abundant resources that will lead the charge as we unleash American energy dominance. It was a wonderful traveling across North Slope with Secretaries Doug Burgum and Chris Wright to meet with community residents and energy sector workers to best understand how we can tap the great potential Alaska has at fingertips. It's an honor to serve the National Energy Dominance Council, and I look forward to working with this amazing team, including statewide and local leaders, and especially President Donald J. Trump, to make Alaska more prosperous than ever before. Right, and they met some nice people there. Looks like they had, you know, a couple of photo ops. Right, they went to Dead Horse to Trans-Alaska Pipeline Pump Station 1, where they met energy workers and delivered remarks and everything else. But it's always nice when, you know, head honchos come out there to these jobs. Save 1900 Realty to pay penalty and launch Lead Safe Work Practices Awareness on Restoring Galveston Cable Show. U.S. EPA announced today a settlement agreement with Save 1900 Realty of Galveston, Texas, resolving alleged violations of the lead renovation, repair, and painting rule. As part of the agreement, owner Michael Cordray will use the HGTV program Restoring Galveston to raise awareness about lead safety. The company will also reduce 30 to 60 second public service announcements highlighting lead safety measures, post on social media, make it available to the EPA for future use. Right, in 2019, 1900 Realty's renovations at 7 Freeze 1978 residential properties failed to meet RRP rule requirements. Violators included failing to, 1, perform work in accordance with the work practice standards, 2, obtain recertification before beginning renovations, and assign a certified renovator for each renovator, and 4, maintain records. Right, since the discovery of these violations, the company has gotten everything that they needed to get. Right, lead contaminating dust from disturbed lead-based paint built in homes in 1978. Is one of the most common causes of elevated blood lead levels. Yeah, we'll have to redo our video on that, right? EPA completes final cleanup actions at Reading, right? You know whether you're from the area if you call it Reading, Pennsylvania. It's Reading, Pennsylvania. EPA completes final cleanup actions at Reading drum site. On May 29th, 2025, U.S. EPA Mid-Atlantic Region successfully completed the final phase of hazardous waste removal at the Reading Drum Site in Reading, Pennsylvania. This milestone marks the conclusion of a comprehensive cleanup effort that began in late 2023 following two significant fires that severely damaged the former Lincoln Chemical Company building, a non-operational facility containing a lot of stuff. All right. The fires left the structure in a dilapidated state, posing potential risks to the public health and the environment. In response, the EPA initiated an emergency removal action with state and local partners to mitigate these hazards by identifying and sorting chemicals for proper disposal while ensuring the physical safety of local responders and on-site workers. From November 2023 through early January 2024, EPA also conducted air monitoring, including asbestos sampling, with all results remaining below levels of concern. The agency categorized and removed more than 550 containers of hazardous materials from the site, including flammables, combustibles, acids, basins, oxidizers, and peroxides. In total, EPA committed approximately $1.8 million to site cleanup. We are committed protecting human health and environment by removing hazardous substances that presented a potential threat to local residents. Paul Leonard, PA Region 3. Hold on. I think I know this guy. Hold on. Hold on. Do we have a photo of him here? Hold on. I think I know this guy. Yeah, I'll look it up. I think, Now, I'm sorry for interrupting the program, but I think I know this guy. Hold on. Let's cut to commercial break real quick here.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that is designed to actually address and assess your hazards and liabilities and is not standardized baloney from generations ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call me, Jim Polzel, at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you are receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. No, it turns out, no, I don't know this guy, but name sounds familiar here. But anyway, what's the point here with this, right? A lot of this stuff is getting cleaned up. All right, I had a conversation with somebody last week saying all these sites that we're doing the cleanups on, Jim, they're really like small jobs. I said, yeah, because they got the big ones all out of the way out here. With this, I mean, right here, now to get the whole thing done within a year, here, I mean, basically a year, a little bit more than a year, May 2025, it's pretty impressive here. And I'm going to give the, EPA a lot of credit for, a lot of credit here for getting this stuff done and being organized. Now, it's nice and refreshing when a government agency is organized. And, with that, it's not all bad here with this. Right? Okay. TSA will end the Quiet Skies program that identifies travelers for extra screening, according to Secretary Noem. This is out of Washington. The article is from the Epoch Times. For the next few articles, Arjun Singh is the author. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem announced on June 5th that the Transportation Security Administration would abolish a program that targets some travelers for additional screening when boarding certain flights that depart from the U.S. The Quiet Skies program was established by the DHS as a way of ensuring high-risk passengers who may pose security risks are more thoroughly searched before they board the aircraft. Once a passenger was identified and put on the Quiet Skies list, they would be subject to more invasive security screening by TSA officers. Conservatives had criticized the Quiet Skies program for allegedly targeting them because of their political views rather than any security, genuine security risk. So, she apparently released a video here. And let's see if we can get this.
I'm announcing that TSA is ending the Quiet Skies program, which involved having a federal agent follow U.S. citizens as they traveled by air. It was created by Obama in 2012 to supposedly Department of Homeland. I'm Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, and today I'm announcing that TSA is ending the Quiet Skies program, which involved having a federal agent follow U.S. citizens as they traveled by air. It was created by Obama in 2012 to supposedly track dangerous individuals. But instead, it was weaponized against political enemies, such as Tulsi Gabbard. And since its existence, it has failed to stop a single terrorist attack, while it costs U.S. taxpayers roughly about $200 million a year. Now, the Department of Homeland Security and TSA have uncovered documents, correspondence, and timelines that highlight the inconsistency of the application of Quiet Skies. And this program, under the guise of national security, has targeted political opponents and benefited political allies of the Biden administration. In addition to conducting our own internal investigation, I'm calling for a full and thorough congressional investigation to uncover further corruption that's in this program. So TSA is going to continue performing important vetting functions to stop security threats and to ensure the safety of the American traveler. The Trump administration will return TSA to its true mission of being laser focused on the safety and the security of traveling public. This includes restoring the integrity, the privacy, and the equal application of the law for all Americans.
Yes, yeah, so that's from Christy Noem. Oh, we'll see how this works out. I tell you what, if the Guvno hits the fan here and somebody actually gets hurt, there's going to be a problem. How a and this is also from the Epoch Times, how a Chinese government statistician was forced to report fake data. So I can't really go into depth reading the article, but I'll read the beginning. When Liu Zhefei, this is an article by Lily Zhu, from yesterday, updated today, a Chinese local government employee in rural Guangdong produced a non-authorized report on fees in 2023. He never expected to get a visit from police or be questioned about whether he had any foreign contacts and threatened with being sent to a mental hospital. Liu, who fled to the United States last year, recently told the Chinese edition of the Epoch Times how he was forced to make up animal farming statistics to match communist regime's GDP target. He also alleged that his superiors and colleagues fined farmers on bogus charges to fill local government coffers and targeted them out. And then it goes into more. So, a couple of months ago, we did a show here on the USA, on one of the census surveys, right? And my whole point with it is the American Community Survey. My whole point with that discussion was we have to start questioning whether the data that they collect is necessary with that. And here, and you know, people, I got some criticism this, I got some criticism that way. I really don't care. I'm just asking questions. Because the administrative state, and now there's another story we didn't talk about here, was with the government combining four different agencies' data, so because every agency collects its own data. Let's pool the data, and there were surveillance state issues. Well, we already know that the states collect some DNA data on children that are born. And from there on out, your data mined again and again and again. And the governments are also data mined with these productivity things. With all these, right? So why is this important that they're lying about productivity is that all of their financial stuff and everything else and the World Bank and all the other financial information, all the other statistics are used to make decisions about public policy, about loans, about this, about that, and everything else. And now it's inaccurate information. One of the reasons why we're told that they collect, the Census Bureau collects like 140 different surveys here. And here we go. Here, DHS, collecting DNA as part of a large massive surveillance effort, according to a lawsuit. A lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Homeland Security alleges a failure to respond to numerous FOIA requests seeking details on how the agency collects, stores, and uses the DNA of non-citizens taken into custody as part of a larger mass surveillance system. All right. Here we have another one from an Alabama political reporter. Law takes effect requiring collection of immigrant biometric data. Right? We have, if you're arrested, right? If you're arrested, they're allowed to collect DNA data. The U.S. is strong during migrant, this is from Wired.com, the U.S. is storing migrant children's DNA, right, in a criminal thing. So it's, around arresting and people who are alleged to have crimes, they're collecting, allegedly have committed crimes here. Here we have one from the Washington Post. China's quest for human genetic data spurs fears of, with foreign actors getting DNA. Right? Here we got, now they're, right, DNA data from infants. Right? Goes on. Here you go. California can share your baby's DNA sample without permission. A new bill could force states to publicly reveal who they're giving it to. And this is all about genealogy companies sending out stuff here and making a public record and helping law enforcement. Right? So everyone, Jim, that was a conspiracy, blah, 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 conspiracy theories and everything else. But it turns out they've been doing this for a long time. Here you have from 2018. This is from CBS News, that right-wing conspiracy theory outfit, right? Owned by that other right-wing company, Paramount, right? You probably know where your Social Security, and this is from San Francisco. You probably know where your Social Security, from May 12, 2018. If you or your child was born in California after 1983, your DNA is being stored by the government, may be available to law enforcement, may even be in the hands of outside researchers. CBS San Francisco's Julie Watts reports. Like many states, California collects bio samples from every child born in the state. Material is then stored indefinitely in a state-run biobank, where it may be purchased for outside research. State law requires that parents are informed of their right to request a child's sample be destroyed, but the state does not confirm parents actually get that information. And it goes on and on and on. So I remember I was on a radio show, call-in program way back in the day. Well, you can't prove this. This is a conspiracy. There is nutso. The government is collecting DNA data. It's all over there. And then all of a sudden, it's, oh yeah, of course, we've been doing it all along. Are we okay with all of this data mining going on again with us? So recently, because of a project I'm involved in, I had to give a blood sample, right? Normal, right? Part of some stuff, right? That's fine. We got to get a physical to go on to the project. No problem at all. I'll never have a problem with it. I understand why we do it, right? It's to protect the employee and to protect the company, right? And to identify if you're medically able to go there because, we've run into problems on some projects where we're doing a cleanup of a heavy metal and the person already has lead poisoning before they even get onto the job, right? That happens. So now your employer does get blamed for that and you don't get exposed to any more heavy metals, lead, right? We got it. No problem. Are you okay with whoever's collecting that blood to sell that data? Basically, they're getting it, maybe not selling, maybe they're just giving it to the government as part of data mining situation for research. I'm not okay with it. You're paying a lot of money for blood work, and then they're double dipping. Well, Jim, they're not really getting money from that. Yeah, but they're getting favor. It's a favor. Parlay favor. Parlay favor. Are we okay with that? Credit card companies do this. Library cards. I remember back in the 1990s was, well, guess what? Now the library is going to be tracking what books you take out and giving that to law enforcement. This happened after the bombing of the first World Trade Center bombing, I believe it was in 93 or 96. There, I forget the year. NJIT students, right, masterminded that one. New Jersey Institute of Technology, my alma mater. What do we do? Where do we draw the line with this? And by the way, if you are in charge of medical records at your company, be very careful, and you better be damn well familiar with HIPAA. Well, Jim, you mean to tell me that the employer would take those records and they could use them against you? Yeah, I had one of my former employers before HIPAA went out and somebody had an illness, a sexually transmitted disease, that it was picked up in the company physical for a 1910-120 job. And this guy was laughing so hard he was going around and telling everybody, oh, this guy's got a sexually transmitted disease. You know, yeah, people do stuff like that. And it was used in employment right decisions. All right. We got a lot of news here. Ukraine. Oh, no, let's go to this one. Fears of a serial killer prowling Texas after 38 bodies pulled from a lake in 3 years. Rumors of a serial killer in a major U.S. city are swirling after 38 bodies have been pulled from a lake in 3 years. The most recent discovery was found by a paddleboarder in Lady Bird Lake in Austin, Texas, on Tuesday morning. The discovery has renewed fears that a mass murderer dubbed the Rainy Street River is on the loose in this city with close to a million residents. Austin's police force has insisted a killer is not roaming the streets, and he says only one of the cases was a homicide. But half a dozen of the bodies dragged from Lady Bird Lake had causes of death which remain unknown. The rumors were reignited when a paddleboarder discovered a body on 7 a.m. on Tuesday, and it believed to belong to a teenage boy who went missing on Sunday. Right? Early investigations show the teenager was with his family on kayaks and paddleboards on the lake when he fell into the river and did not resurface. It was, however, the 30th male corpse to be discovered in the lake since 2022. Right? Drowning has been the top cause of death with suicide, drug overdoses, and natural causes. This is from metro.co.uk, this article, by the way. Two corpses were found in or around the river in April as well. I don't know, bad luck? I mean, 33 seems to be a lot, I would think. I mean, maybe they should rename it like the Bermuda Triangle or something. I don't know. Now, this escalation in the war. Yeah, I mean, I'm not making light of this situation. I have 33 dead people. But I mean, what the hell's going on over there? I lived around the water all my life up until I got married. 33 people? Really? What the hell? Now, here we are talking about the, Ukraine war latest. Ukraine strikes Russian missile base in Uransk Oblast. Damages Iskandar launchers. Trump dismisses timeline to impose Russian sanctions. I tell you what, this escalation worries the hell out of me. This is from Wall Street Journal. U.S. is redirecting critical anti-drone technology from Ukraine to U.S. forces. Maybe they don't want this stuff falling into foreign hands. Right? The Trump administration is redirecting key anti-drone technology earmarked for Ukraine to American forces, a move that reflects the Pentagon's waning commitment to Kiev's defense. The move comes as President Trump said Wednesday that Russian President Putin told him in a phone call that Moscow would have to respond forcefully to recent Ukrainian attacks, dampening the prospects for a halt in the war. I tell you what, guys, we got to stop with the war. Germany starts hunt for more air defenses as Zelensky flees for Patriot missiles. Germany launched a fresh bid on Wednesday to chase down more air defense systems for Ukraine, which in past weeks has suffered some of the heaviest Russian attacks since the full-scale invasion of 2022. Berlin aims to potentially surpass the sum of 1 billion euros, which it collected with a similar initiative last year. Right? He was speaking before a member of the Rammstein Group. This is the defense minister, Boris Pistorius. Wow. Rhymes. A little alliteration action there. He was speaking before a meeting, the Rammstein Group, of some 50 nations set up by the U.S. to coordinate military aid. Right? And has been co-chaired by Germany and Britain since Washington decided to no longer lead the group. Washington was represented by its NATO ambassador Matthew Whitaker, with U.S. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth expected to join a day after later for a meeting with his NATO counterparts. This is loco escalation here. So what options does Vladimir Putin have? This is from the sun.com. But as this article says, we have several options. We have, and they're not good. Nuclear-armed cruise missile with unlimited range, the SSC-X9 Skyfall. RS-28 Satan II, super heavy supersonic missile. Again, we're behind on this technology, allegedly. The 21,000-mile-per-hour hypersonic warhead glider that can beat missile defenses. You have the KH-47 M2 Dagger hypersonic air-launched nuclear missile. Poseidon, nuclear-armed submarine that can cause tidal waves. And 5,977 miscellaneous warheads, 1,600 ready to be launched. Again, not good, friends. So that's all I got for tonight. We're going to cut it now, and we will see you, four programs? Can we make it five? Yes, five programs this week. I don't know. If I do, it's going to be more of a lecture type thing, you know? But we'll see.
Hi, this is...
There we go.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.